one.
Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
We got another hour to go here on the Eric Ainge Show. Appreciate you tuning in to us. We're live here at Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville, I-75 Callahan Drive. Leave the checkbook on the dresser.
Yes.
Chad joins us now. Chad Campbell, the man, the myth, the legend. Hey, you look lean and mean.
Hey, I'm in mid-season form right now, and we're only four games in.
Lean and
That's
mean.
Right. Thank you.
That chain gang. I mean, you're almost in like profile selfie, you know, duck lips mode. You know, you could be, you know, really posing for some pictures.
Hey, so shout out to the chain gang. I'm not on the chain gang this year. I'm over on the home sideline, but don't think that Jimmy Carter, Tony Johnson, Ronald Eller, and Brad Anders don't have it hammered down over there on the sideline. They're KIL form right now.
That's really good, because there was a rumor on a message board that, you know, they were dropping the ball and just
no, they dropped the sticks.
Not getting
it
done.
They dropped the box. They dropped the sticks. They ran from a play, but that was preseason stuff. So they're in midseason form too.
Hey, guys, we're not picking today. I mean, we're not starting the picks today. That is next Friday. Two things. One, we need to decide what we're going to play for. Because
I got an idea.
To win something. What's up?
I got an idea. How about a championship belt?
I'm in.
I'll get a championship belt made for first place.
And then we also have to have something for whoever comes in last place. We need something for Brian.
Okay, yeah. I'll get his name engraved on one of those little donkey things. It's got the back half of the horse or something. And the little, I'll get Brian's name engraved.
I don't believe I finished last year.
Well, there is Jake Bull.
Yes, you did.
Brian, for sure, you got last.
Fact check.
I'm gonna have to pull out my form next week and see.
What? Hey, Brian, can you speak up? I can't hear you from all the way down there at the bottom of the standings.
Ooh, from the top rope. That's what I'm talking about.
Right,
what are we doing? What are we doing now?
Well, we're going to pick some games against the spread this week. We have six, just like we normally do.
We have six. Have you looked at the games yet?
I did finish last year. Huh. All right. Never mind.
We wouldn't forget that.
We would never say it if it weren't
35.
So.
I am curious who won.
Oh, good grief.
Huh.
By a single game.
There's a first time for everything.
By a single game.
Who did he beat by a single game?
That would be you, Chad.
That was me.
Well, he beat both of you by a single game.
So me and Joel tied last year.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Joel.
All right, last week, and these games were against the spread. We're going to pick against the spread today because it's early in the season and there's a lot of spread-worthy games. But, yeah, Eric, you're not good against the spread.
Nope, never have been, never will be.
Eric was 2-4. Joel was 2-4. I was 4-2, and Jake was 5-1 against the spread.
Well, you know,
that's
Peyton
how you
Manning,
know it was a weird week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Peyton Manning used to be 0-4 in the preseason, then go win the Super Bowl. So, Jake being undefeated or in the lead in preseason means nothing.
He's not worried.
Yeah. It's like spring training.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. All right, so we will start in the Big 12, where Oklahoma State will finally get to play after being moved off of last week. They will welcome in Tulsa, where the 11th-ranked Cowboys are a 22.5-point favorite. Chad, would you like to go first or last?
I'll go last.
All right. Then, Eric, you get to lead off.
I think that Hubbard hasn't opted out, right? He's playing?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay, then I'm going to take Oklahoma State, because I don't think Tulsa's going to be able to tackle that guy. Most teams can't.
Joel?
I believe they also had Tylan Wallace come back this year, did they not?
I think so, yeah.
I thought he came back after he got injured last year. If you haven't seen his beast mode run from last season, That's really entertaining. Like, he stiff arms three guys while running down the sideline and stays in bounds and scores a touchdown. It's awesome. So check that out. I will take Oklahoma State.
I'm going to take Oklahoma State to cover. I think Tulsa's good, but I think you got that offense rolling for Oklahoma State. So that makes all three of us, though, so far OSU. Chad, what do you think?
You know what? I'll make it all the way across the board. I'm going to take Oklahoma State, too. I think they're the kind of team that goes for two when they're up by 30 instead of kicking an extra point. So I think they'll cover the spread.
Mullet don't lie. All right. Game number two, Boston College is on the road at Duke, a conference game here. Two teams, Duke looking to bounce back. Boston College had their game last week canceled. Duke looked good at times against Notre Dame. They are only a 6-point favorite against Boston College.
This one's easy. Give me Duke all day long. I think Bryce, their quarterback, just he had a tough day after a while when they couldn't run the football. Defensively, I thought Duke looked actually really good. They gave Notre Dame a lot of problems. And they got to play once and make mistakes, and they're in week two. You see the most improvement from week one to week two, and this is week one for Boston College. Give me Duke.
Noted Duke apologist, Eric Ainge. Joel.
Duke did some good things last week and gave Notre Dame some problems. And that was a Notre Dame team that had Ian Book coming back at quarterback this year. So I'm going to take the Blue Devils to cover the spread against Boston College.
I will also pick Duke. It's only a touchdown, and I think they can be a touchdown better than Boston College. So I will take the Blue Devils. Chad.
No separation here. I'm going to take the Blue Devils as well. I think Coach Cut gets it done.
Here's where we start to get some separation because we have some wild spreads here. We're going to go to the Sun Belt, which looks like a Power 5 conference last week. Louisiana, ranked number 19 in the country, is a 16-point favorite against our good old friends Georgia State. This one takes place in Atlanta. Can they cover the 16 on the road against the Panthers?
Tell me, you cut out a little bit. What team?
Louisiana. At Georgia
State. You know, Georgia State, I know that we're all jaded to them, but Louisiana looked like the superior team against a ranked Iowa State team, athletically anyway. I'm going to take the Raging Cajuns.
Joel.
I'll take Louisiana as well. I don't think this is going to be some bowl-busting Group of Five powerhouse team this season, but what they did last week was pretty impressive. And I think they can at least cover 16 against Georgia State.
Yeah, I think Georgia State's terrible, and I'm still bitter, so I'm going to take the Raging Cajuns.
Well, you're right then. There's going to be a little separation because I can't stand a road favorite in a conference game when they're playing at Georgia State. I'm going to take Georgia State plus the points.
Ooh, all right.
In front of that crowd.
Yeah, in
both
front
of those fans.
Well, it's like a usual game for them.
It'll be the same either way. They play in the old Turner Field. What's a smaller crowd, a weeknight game early in the season for the Braves back in the day, or Georgia State on a normal Saturday. We go to now to the ACC. Syracuse is at 25th-ranked Pittsburgh. Syracuse played North Carolina close for the first half last week, and then North Carolina woke up. They are a 21.5-point underdog on the road to Pittsburgh. Eric?
Oh, man. I mean, how good is Pitt, really? Give me Syracuse. I think they will bounce back. Clemson is everything they were hyped up to be. I think North Carolina. Yeah, give me Syracuse.
Okay. Joel.
Yeah, I think Syracuse has to get something going offensively at some point. Just three touchdowns is a lot. I think Pitt's pretty good. Syracuse did not look good last week. But I'm going to take Syracuse. They've got to stay within three touchdowns for they can't lose by that much for the second week in a row in conference play.
Well, I was going to pick Syracuse to cover, and then Eric picked it, so I'm gonna go Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh wins big.
Mm.
Chad?
Well, who did Syracuse play last week?
North Carolina,
that's
right.
It was,
I believe, 7-6 or 10-6 at the half, and then North Carolina happened in the second half.
Okay, you know what? Normally, I would never pick with Brian, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh minus 21.5. Sorry, Brian. You're not
probably,
here.
Yeah. Probably
you're not
safe,
here.
Yeah, I know. I wish I had some popcorn and some of your...
I wish you were here.
Thanks.
That's one of us.
Oh. Well, all right. Well, They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. Apparently not for one Eric Ainge. All right, we go to another old standby. UCF, ranked 14th in the country, is on the road at Georgia Tech, who was a surprising winner last week on the road at Florida State. Can Georgia Tech make it 2-for-2? UCF is a touchdown and half a point favorite, 7.5, on the road in Atlanta.
UCF. I think athletically they are the superior team, and I don't think it's particularly close. The quarterback for Georgia Tech really did do a good job coming on late, making some plays, but I think UCF is going to be maybe not in the season as a top 15 team, but they're a ranked caliber football team.
Joel?
UCF's not my pick to win the American, but I do think they're a good football team. I thought it was impressive what Georgia Tech did last week, but Florida State's not good, and Mike Norvell is going to need some time to build that team up in Tallahassee, so I'm going to take the Golden Knights.
I'm also going to take UCF. I think Georgia Tech is still looking to prove that they belong after beating Florida State. I think they're going to be better than people think, but ultimately they still have the 13th best talent in the ACC right now, and UCF gets to recruit the state of Florida. So give me UCF.
You know what? I don't know a whole lot about either one of these teams, but I know that one of Brian's old friends, Marty McDaniel's down at Georgia Tech now, and
yes,
so he helped both my girls with their pitching. So for that reason only, I'm going to take Georgia Tech. How's
Shout
that?
Out, hey, Marty.
Yeah, there you go.
I asked him last week, what's it like to have to cheer for Georgia Tech? He goes,
So. I've spent a lot of time at Georgia Tech. One of my good buddies, Taylor Bennett, was the quarterback there back when I was in college, and Calvin Johnson was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go hang out with him all the time.
You guys remember when Reggie Ball threw the ball out of bounds on fourth down?
I do. I'll never forget that.
It's the only, like, memory of a Georgia win that I can look back on and smile.
Yeah. And the varsity's across the interstate, which should be worth a couple of points.
Oh, yeah. Delicious. Highly recommend.
All right. Last one. Only ranked on ranked matchup of the weekend, and it is the ABC primetime game. 17th ranked Miami is on the road at 18th ranked Louisville. Louisville is basically just getting the home boost. They are a 2.5 point favorite over the Hurricanes. Eric, who emerges from this one 2-0?
I'm trying to see who did they play last week.
Miami had UAB on a Thursday night. Louisville had Western Kentucky.
That's right.
Who they hammered.
Yeah. Give me Louisville on this one.
He's taking Louisville.
You said Joel, it's just two or three points?
Two and a half.
Yeah, give me Louisville.
Louisville, and I'm not thinking twice about it. Louisville looked really efficient on offense against Western Kentucky, didn't have any problem with the Hilltoppers. Miami looked really dysfunctional, especially through the first 2.5 quarters. Needed 17 third-quarter points just to get away from UAB. I don't know if I'm buying Manny Diaz being able to do anything down there in Coral Gables. So I'm taking Louisville. I think 2.5 is way too low.
Dysfunction's kind of my middle name, so I'm going to take Miami. Derek King looked great. I agree with you on Manny Diaz. I don't know that he's the guy, but I think at least through the first half of the year, they can rely on Derek King's legs and his arm. So I think he goes on the road and pulls the upset.
Well, you know what? I think that I ditto everything that Joel said about Louisville. I watched the Louisville game, and he was spot on there. I didn't see any of the Miami game, but I'm going to take Louisville minus 2.5.
Not a bad choice to pick against me.
Well, it was really just because I listened to everything Joel said.
Yeah. All right.
Pesky Silverberg. He convinced me.
Those are our picks for this week. It's our last preseason. Next week, we start picking the game straight up. It'll be the four of us, as well as Jake from...
No, good grief. Seriously, we have to invite him back.
Well, yeah. You know, it's not the Battle of Callahan Drive if you're not both participating.
Well, it wasn't much of a battle last year. it was over before it ever started.
You know,
it was really a three-person race.
I'm thinking championship belt or like a chalice, like a big...
You're using big words.
You know, like from medieval times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a big, giant, gold cup.
Ooh.
Now somebody's going to have to drive to Myrtle Beach and get one.
Not a real gold cup.
A gold-plated cup.
Not a real gold cup.
That is painted gold.
Like a hard plastic.
Maybe a hard plastic cup we paint gold.
Yeah, spray
paint. Just buy him a lemon Slurpee. He won't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Somebody call Party City. Get a gold chalice. Go across the street to Weigel's. Fill it with frozen Mountain Dew, and you've got it.
I will have us something.
Sucks.
Is he talking about Jake again? Could we get him to maybe call in and say that Jake say some comments about him?
I don't know.
Your station disrespected him.
Richard was such a wild card that I just didn't. I hesitate to ask him to do anything.
I wonder what he's doing right now.
Probably thinking of a favor he could do.
UT football.
Probably listening to us and furious. Chad, it's a great weekend, though. You're not going to be furious if you come into Rusty Wallace Honda.
That's exactly right. You got up to $5,000 in bonus cash this weekend. You got up to $5,000 over KBB for your trade. Do the math there. That's $10,000 that you could possibly save. So come on in to the intersection of selection, I-75 at Callahan Drive. That's Rusty Wallace Honda.
Chad, good luck. Thanks so much.
Good luck, Grace, football tonight.
Yep.
You guys got a big one.
Got go start region play tonight. We travel to Chattanooga to play Notre Dame.
Ooh. I have been in that stadium several times. It's a little steep, but, yeah, we always said when I was a Catholic, they're the fake Irish. Go beat the fake Irish. I fully endorse it.
You got it, man. You got it. We're going to try.
Chad, thanks. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys always being here.
That is Chad Campbell of Rusty Wallace Honda. Those are our picks. We come back here on the Eric Gaines Show with a bizarre story out of
Brian,
high school
Brian
football.
Brian will for sure be last place. For sure last place. We're both positive Brian will be. It's a two-man race.
All right. Well, now it's time to go to break. This is the Eric Gaines Show.
Yeah, 100%. Sorry, I was using the restroom. Just got back.
You're good. You're good. We're rolling along.
My bad.
So.
That's right.
Of course, Cade May, as we hope, will be out there approved by the NCAA, still waiting for a waiver from the SEC. Somebody who didn't have to get a waiver because of the actions of his parents is a quarterback named Jake Garcia. He is a four-star quarterback out of the state of California. He is committed to USC. He is the number four pro-style passer in the country, the number 39 overall recruit in the nation. He has been committed to USC for more than a year.
I watched his huddle film. He's a good player.
La Habra High School, where he attends in the state of California, is not playing high school football this year because the state of California is not having high school football this fall. Instead of sitting out, Garcia contacted Rush Probst, the famous coach from the Two-A-Days series, and Valdosta High in Valdosta, Georgia. I cannot imagine a bigger culture shock than moving from California to Valdosta, Georgia.
Yeah, that
maybe
would be
somewhere
intense.
In rural Alabama. Maybe. But he packed his bags to move across the country to finish his high school career in Valdosta. Georgia, though, requires moves like this to be a, quote, bona fide move, meaning the athlete must move with his parents in order to be eligible to play. Garcia's mom couldn't make the move from California to Georgia because of her job. So to satisfy Georgia's requirement, his father, Randy, not only moved across the country with his son, but had to legally separate from his wife to make the move to satisfy Georgia's requirements. Quote, "It's been hard, but it's worth it," Yvonne said. "It's a sacrifice, and it's worth it." Randy and Yvonne do plan on reconciling after the season.
Like that, this is obviously a first. And I understand their kid's a four-star player, but he's already committed and getting his college paid for.
Yeah.
He has a signable offer as a commit to USC, which is a good academic school as well, in his home state. Mm-hmm. Why do they feel the need to do all that stuff, moving across the country? You got to get a new place. You got to either, if you keep your house, then you have your house in California and another, you know, an apartment or a house in Valdosta, Georgia. You just so he can play football. And I would understand that if he was really talented and just hadn't got to play yet or something.
Fighting for an offer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, he's got probably, if you get a USC offer, probably multiple Power 5 offers. He's going to get his college paid for. Just hang out.
Yeah, it's not like you're, well, he wants to play with get his your, friends this year. He's playing with guys he's never met
yeah,
before.
Yeah, he's not, exactly. I mean, maybe he could take a bunch of classes and early enroll at USC and give himself a better chance. I mean, that's crazy to me.
So you're
there's not even
that,
a guarantee that they're going to get to play there. I mean, what if they? I know they're playing, but what if some people in that county or that school or that team get COVID? Then you moved across the country and got legally separated. Can you imagine being the superintendent of that school district?
No.
And the principal of that school, you'd be like, whoa.
Well, they've already hired Rush Probst with all the baggage that comes with him. So there, I mean, that's kind of where they are.
Win at all costs.
Yeah. But, yeah.
High school football in the South.
It's feel the excitement, I guess.
Better win. Speaking of high school football, obviously a ton of great games tonight. That Powell Central game tomorrow is going to be, in my opinion, must-see TV.
And we're going to have it on our air as well. It will be televised by MyVLT and Mark Packer's crew, and then we're going to carry it here on the Sports Animal in Knoxville if you want to listen or listen online at 991thesportsanimal.com. So excited for that. Excited to see. The good thing that there are not many good things that have come of COVID, but one good thing has been I think we have seen how flexible it is possible for sports to be. From the high school level all the way up to the pro level, backed into a corner, you can be flexible and you can find a way to make it work. And I hope that gets us away from the, well, it wasn't scheduled 5 years ago, so we can't do it mentality that we've had. Because it's been great to see the flexibility and just people being most worried about, you know, giving the kids a chance to play. So looking forward to that one big time tomorrow night. As well as some great games tonight, including Catholic on FM 99.1, the game of the week on AM 990. And
Is Catholic playing someone really good today?
McCallie.
McCallie.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that ought to be a really good game.
Joel, who do you guys have on News Talk 98.7 with Hardin Valley?
Hardin Valley's got Dobbins Bennett coming to town. They've gone there the last 2 years, and now Dobbins Bennett returns the favor and comes down here. And then we've got Farragut Morristown West as our game of the week.
Man, 6A football is brutal.
We have a couple of games with Tri-Cities Knoxville crossover on
very cool.
Science Hill is playing Catholic next week, too, so that's another Tri-Cities game. And you're not kidding, Eric. I was actually talking to Logan about this on Saturday Sports Talk. 6A football, which means if you make the playoffs, you run into Maryville. The last time an area team not named Alcoa beat Maryville. Does anybody have a guess?
Corals was still the coach.
I'll say Central in 2004.
Ainge?
2010?
It was in a playoff game, it was Morristown West in 2003.
Ooh,
and in a regular season game, it was Halls in 2000.
Jeez. Wow. That's low def.
That was 2000, I was in high school.
Yeah.
My senior year of high school. That's
the last time a team from the city of Knoxville beat Maryville in a regular season game.
That's incredible.
And yeah, Maryville actually started 0-4 that season and then ran roughshod the rest of the way and won the state title.
State champion.
So
of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course they did.
I remember that 0-4 start. Yep. Wow.
I never played on a team or a program like that. I mean, do you take for granted the wins at some point? Does it not even become enjoyable?
I want to say yes, but the way that they win, I'm not sure that you could say that because they've kept it up. You know, I think if that was your attitude, eventually you would become complacent and get hit somewhere along the way, and they just don't.
I just think it's incredible that stat in high school. You know, I would expect it. It's like Nick Saban never loses to his assistants. He never loses to a non-Power 5 team. It's just guaranteed he's going to win. Like, I get it in college, big-time college and pros and stuff like that, but to get high school kids up and ready and engaged every single week for a couple decades. Is insane.
I remember reading an article a few years ago when Maryville had that stretch of winning four straight state titles without taking a loss, period. There were, I think, it might be more, but I know that there were two players highlighted who were varsity players as freshmen, which means they had gone their high school careers as going 60-0.
That's
and they said
crazy.
It didn't hit them until the clock was winding down for that fourth state title game. Like, it had sunk in. We didn't just win our fourth straight state championship. We went 60-0. We never lost a game in high school. That's nuts.
Yeah, that's GOAT status. I saw some article that had ranked high school coaches, and Quarles was, in his time at Maryville, was ranked number one.
And Quarles was supposed to return to Knoxville this year with Furman, but, of course, that game canceled due to COVID.
I always liked him. He's a great guy.
He almost had as many state titles as he did total losses for his tenure.
That's incredible.
That's stupid.
Just incredible. Oh, great stuff. All right, welcome back. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haynes Show as we get you set for your big football weekend. Take a look at what's going to happen in the NFL this weekend next on the EA Show.
Very good right now. Mm-hmm. And they got a freshman quarterback. You know, I think they have a good coach, but, I mean, they're not there right now. But I watched the West Carnes game. What? 3 weeks ago, I guess, and I was blown away by how good West looked. Yeah. Defensively, they were super athletic at every position. They were bigger, stronger, and faster at every position. Jed's kid, the quarterback, was what's his name? Is it Baker, Joel? Baker Dance, I think that's his name.
Yeah,
anyway,
Baker Dance.
Yeah, quarterback for West. I mean, he was super sharp, super efficient. And I thought I heard he's just a sophomore. If that's the case, then he's the next up and comer over here in East Tennessee football.
He's a senior. Baker's been good. A starter since he was a sophomore.
That's what I thought because I knew it wasn't his first year playing. So anyway, he's a good player. I mean, he's a college football player for sure somewhere. I don't know what kind of looks he's getting, but then they got the mattress kid. They're big and physical. I don't know. Are they 5A? Is West 5A?
Yes.
So you'd have
5A Region 3, yeah.
Powell, Central, and West are all 5A teams.
Yeah. And their wins this year, 30-7 over Farragut, 44-0 over Carnes, 42-0 over Jeff County. And then last night, 22-7 over Oak Ridge, and they looked really strong. And then they are scheduled to take on Hardin Valley. So Joel, you'll see them next Friday.
That's right.
With all apologies to Hardin Valley, you might want to have some second half prep ready to go.
I mean, thank the good Lord we're getting to play football this year because there's a lot of high school football teams in the area that are really, really good, stacked,
yes,
playing at an incredible level with all the adversity in the off season and lack of legitimate practice time, no jamborees or preseason, really anything. To have this many teams that just showed, you know, out the gate, looked like they were in midseason form, I think that's a testament to how, not just the players, of course, but how good the quality of varsity high school football coaches we have here in East Tennessee. I mean, I've been around a lot of high school football programs, and I don't know that there's an area that has better coaching top to bottom.
Yeah, and that extends beyond Knoxville.
Absolutely.
Up into the Tri-Cities with all of the
for sure
great legendary programs that are up there as well. So,
yep.
Good stuff coming in this week. The NFL is back on the field this weekend. Sunday night game is probably game of the week material, New England and Seattle.
Ooh.
That's the one I'm looking forward to most this weekend. New Orleans, Las Vegas on Monday night is going to be great, but New England, Seattle is absolutely 100% game of the week in my mind.
Who do the Bucs have this weekend?
Tampa Bay hosts Carolina.
That game could go either way.
Yeah.
Carolina looked a little They looked a little rusty.
The national late game will be Baltimore at Houston. It's CBS has the doubleheader this week. So here locally we'll get Jacksonville and Tennessee at 1. And then Baltimore and Houston at 4:25. Baltimore-Houston, I mean, you're talking about what team will be running things second place in the AFC behind Kansas City. Kansas City is at the L.A. Chargers. So that a brief look at what you've got coming up in the NFL this weekend. We'll come back. We'll find out what we learned today and get you set for that sports weekend next on the Eric Ainge Show. From today, they will have to have their travel roster turned in by this time next Friday because they have cut how many players you can take on the road this year and what your travel party can be going on the road this year. So that's coming.
I know something that I learned. Okay. When we host our tailgate watch party on the 26th for the Carolina game, we're having a video game truck come as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be the deal. AOPR.net if you want to do that. I still can't believe they can't tailgate on campus.
Yeah, well, that's an SEC deal too. So,
wow. Let's see, what else did we learn? We learned that Colin Hill, the quarterback that has been named the starter, the transfer from Colorado State where Bobo came from, mm-hmm. He is 3-10 while in games he played in throwing minimum 10 passes, and that's not good. And
that
he's 1-7. He's 1-7 in games as the quarterback at Colorado State against conference teams. In the Mountain West.
That was not good.
No, not good at all. Now, he has some, you know, he completes a lot of balls on third down. His red zone numbers are pretty good. So, I mean, we'll have to watch it and see. But he also was quarterbacking a team that was inferior to a lot of the teams that he was playing. You know, I mean, that's just, it is what it is. Well, that's going to be that way at South Carolina, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're that inferior to other teams in the Mountain West. I mean, they had the opportunity to take steps forward with him at quarterback, and they didn't. So, you know, it bears watching, certainly. But he beat out Ryan Helinski to the surprise of many.
Yeah, I did not see that come. That wasn't even on my radar.
I didn't learn this because you and I have been very, very vocal about our thoughts on Joe Burrow, but he showed last night, even in a loss, that he's going to be a factor as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for some time to come.
Yeah, I mean, he's for sure not a bust. He's definitely the franchise guy in Cincinnati. Like they had it for a few years there when they had Ocho Cinco and Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. They were a playoff team. Mm-hmm. They weren't a Super Bowl champion. They probably really weren't even a Super Bowl contender. Part of that's the division you play in, but I think Burrow in time could get Cincinnati back there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And he looked very, very good last night. And again, my
super
evaluation
athletic.
My evaluation is not based on him getting some sort of moral victory against the Cleveland Browns. It's watching and seeing what he is able to do despite not having training camp this year.
Exactly.
Because That's as well, impressive
all,
to me as
all the news that came out of Cincinnati training camp the whole time, players, coaches, they just talked about how ready he was to, mm-hmm. like, significantly further ahead than any rookie quarterback they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And he was running an NFL offense last year, you know?
Yeah. And his coordinator from LSU is – back in the NFL running an NFL offense that seems like it's going to be pretty successful over in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that it is going to be a good weekend in the NFL. You have a big, big Sunday night game, which is a Super Bowl rematch. Hoping for the best there. I learned Tom Brady's okay with criticism. He said this because Bill Belichick never really went out and said a whole lot about Tom Brady. He said of his coach Bruce Arians, quote, "He's the coach, I'm a player. We're trying to win a game," unquote. Pretty short, simple, and to the point, but that's Tom Brady on Bruce Arians.
I mean, you got to treat him the same as everybody else. If anybody else, I mean, I'm sure he did that last year with Jameis Winston. If he didn't do it, then it would look like he was just bowing to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Good on Brady for not making it a thing either. He didn't play good enough. I mean, he played okay. The line in Tampa, though, that's their biggest problem. I mean, the offensive line, and maybe the Saints are just really good on defense, and we'll find that out as the year goes. And I think that is true. So maybe the Bucs won't have as many problems protecting as they did, but just about every ball he threw was under duress.
Yeah.
I mean, they were getting there quick.
That's going to be a problem for years to come, I think, in the NFL, because you're seeing these players sign bigger and bigger contracts, and offensive linemen are kind of getting forgotten. And as the salary cap does what it does over the next few years because of the financial constraints around COVID, I think you're going to see a lot of teams with a lot of talent and nobody to protect for them. And I think that's going to even the playing field a little bit with some of these teams that have stockpiled a lot of really good offensive talent at skill positions.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. I learned Jeremy Pruitt expects to have everybody back and ready to go by the time they take the field 8 days from now.
Gosh, you pray that nothing else happens.
Yeah. That you don't have one big
Was it Missouri that you said already has 12 guys that won't be ready?
They have 12 guys that they know will not be out of contact tracing in time to go play at Alabama next Saturday.
And again, not that that matters.
Wasn't going to help them one way or the other. But still not an ideal situation.
It might end up being good for them. Those 12 guys will be nice and healthy for Tennessee.
That's true. I hadn't thought of it like that, but...
You never know.
That is unfortunately true. Eric, have a fun weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, buddy. Happy birthday, Amanda. I love you.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Amanda. Monday, we'll be live at Green Meadow Wine and Spirits in Alcoa. Can't wait for it. We'll see you then. Joel, thank you. It's the Eric Gaines Show.